discussion concerning those very issues. Now, last week we talked about some issues here, and that's what we're going to address here, some of these issues, so that we can equip the saints where we can look at those things and consider these differences. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness in times past and forgiveness today, how we're complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, Colossians 2:10, and how we've been forgiven all our sins and trespasses today in the dispensation of the grace of God, Colossians 2:13. We talked about the righteousness of God, and we talked about the law, and we spent a lot of time there with those issues. Now, we also spoke a little bit about our justification, and we talked about the issue of being justified by faith and justified by grace and justified in the law in times past, and we're going to touch on that also some more. And we're going to talk tonight concerning salvation and justification again, and of course the issue of baptism and things of that nature. But we wanted to open up here and show some of these differences in what was being preached there from the scriptures given unto us by the risen Christ. So when we open up here, let's look at issue number one. Issue number one has to be when we look at Galatians chapter 2, and hopefully we can get someone to post tonight for us. When we look at issue number one about the gospel, and here are some of the differences to consider. And note here, when we talk about the word gospel, gospel is the good news. And throughout times past, but now, and ages to come. Yes, Brother Stan, if we get somebody else to post, that would be great. Stan can't post tonight. When we look at things of the gospel, the good news, the information that's being shared, then we can see some differences. So what we're going to do here, first of all, some of the same scriptures that we share here, we're going to look at the issue of the gospel and what was being preached there in the Bible, what good news were being put out there. So let's first take a look here during Christ's earthly ministry, and let's look at some scriptures here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let's see here. Let's go initially here to Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, if anyone could post for us. And let's look here at the good news that were being preached by John the Baptist. Okay, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the good news shared there to the nation of Israel as John coming, making the way straight for the Messiah. It would have been good news to those of the circumcision. Okay, good news for those of the circumcision. Let's move ahead here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew 4 and verse 17 says here in verse 17, "For that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those are some differences that we're going to look at here when we go on to Paul's epistle. Let's first, though, let's continue on here. Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at verse 23. Matthew 4 and 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. Okay? That's Matthew 4 and verse 23. Now, let's look at an issue here that's going to occur in times past. Let's stay here in the context of the book of Matthew, and let's go to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, okay? Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Okay? Matthew chapter 14 tells us in ages to come that it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Okay? Now, we've established the fact there in Christ's earthly ministry, preached by the prophet John and Christ to the nation Israel, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 and 7. Now, note here the context of the messages as we've been sharing them here, so we can distinguish between the information. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7. Okay, Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." Okay? That is information for ages to come. That's during the time of the Great Tribulation, which is spoken of there in Matthew 24, and also the good news that's spoken by the prophets. And what can we understand here? We can understand that God's final judgment upon mankind is coming upon the earth. Therefore, the messenger of God, the angel that flies in the midst of heaven, has the everlasting gospel to preach. Make note of that in your study. Now, we can share some other points of good news here, as we see very clearly there. But let's look at the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. And let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8 says, "And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." And we know in the with the information that was being shared there in Genesis chapter 12, before the circumcision, Abraham was justified by faith. And so we identify through faith with Father Abraham. But as we look in our studies here and we look at some issues in the book of James, we're going to look at our justification by faith. But let's continue on with the information concerning the gospel. We know there, Father Abraham, that nations that blessed Israel or blessed him, that they would receive a blessing. Nations that cursed him would receive a cursing. Bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. Okay? And that was the good news, or somewhat bad news also. Okay? And thank you, Debbie Lynn, for posting those scriptures. We're going to move ahead here and to Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. We're going to look at the information that was given to the Apostle Paul. Paul says here, "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Okay? Kept secret since the world began. So that's information that's given to the Apostle Paul. Consider that information. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul tells us of the good news in this present dispensation, as we're going to talk here earlier, later also about the meaning of the cross. But Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Okay? "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Okay? Now, just consider those Scriptures. Consider the information. Consider what was being preached there, that good news, and think about those things. And by showing those things, we show not only that God has presented more than just one good news to us in the Scriptures, then you can denote those things and show the differences. Okay? Let us move on here to issue number 2. Okay? And we're going to look at the issue of justification again. And if we're repeating from last week's study, we can jot some of this information down. Now, justification. When we look at the issue of being justified, we want to look here very clearly and to examine what are we justified with or by. And so let's look here in James chapter 2. Under Israel's program, information that's given to them, information that's given to them, to those tribulation saints, in the Hebrew epistles. They're commonly known as the Hebrew epistles. The application is not to us, the church, the body of Christ, but to Israel going through tribulation. And in James chapter 2, let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he has faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, but ye warned and filled, notwithstanding ye gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." Okay? Now, verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Now, remember, this is James presenting there to the circumcision that information to go through great tribulation. Therefore, in verse 24, let's go to James 2 and 24, you see that how that by works a man is not justified, and not by faith only. Okay? And in verse 26, James 2 and 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead." Now, that's James speaking according to the circumcision. Now, let's go over here to Paul's epistles, the information to the church, the body of Christ. Here, we're going to see some things that differ, okay, concerning the justification. All right, let's go to Titus chapter 3, and let's pick it up at verses 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. It says, "But after that, the kindness and love of our God of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, I want you to make note here. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it says justified by his grace. Okay, it doesn't say justified by works as James was presenting the information to us. It said justified by his grace. Okay, let's also go to Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Okay, now we looked at James and being justified by works, but let's go to the book of Romans and verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh have found? For what if Abraham was justified by works? He had what of the glory, and not before God? For what said the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Okay? But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Understand that. For one that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay? It's very important that we understand this. Okay? And let's continue here in Romans chapter 4. Let's go fast forward to verses 20 through 25. Okay? Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 25. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And that's the issue there in Romans chapter 4 concerning our justification and identification with Father Abraham. Okay? Now, let's look here. Also, we're going to stay in the book of Romans for a minute there. Let's look also here at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, and if by grace, then it is no more of work. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Okay? Those are some issues of grace and work. So we see Paul's perspective here. Now, let's go to the book of Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians and Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. The area where we got our initial text from, let's go to Galatians chapter 2, and let's go through verses 16 through 21. Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, We ourselves also are found sinners, and therefore Christ, the minister of sin, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So hopefully you can remember from last week's study, as we talked about God's righteousness. And our justification is a complete picture of the imputed righteousness of Christ. This is the area that we surely wanted to address. Now, let's look here in Acts chapter 13. And remember these things to consider. Acts chapter 13 and verses 38 and 39. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Says here, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Okay? And by him all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay? Our justification is in Christ Jesus. Okay? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. There's no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to those of us that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8:1. Okay? So, let us move on there from issue number three, issue number two, rather, and let's go here to issue number three here. And let's talk about the issue of salvation. Okay? We know here, according to, let's first look here at the Gospel of John, and let's look at chapter 4 and verse 19. But for the study, we're going to look at John 4, verses 19 through 22, okay? Let's go here to the book of John, and we're going to look at chapter 4 and verse 19. Okay, it says here, John chapter 4 and verse 19. I may have a bad scripture reference here, but let's continue on here. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the morning and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Okay? Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in the mountains nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Okay? And verse 22. Let's go to verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what ye know, what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Now let's talk about that issue for a while. The issue there, Christ speaking to the woman concerning salvation. Salvation is of the Jews. And let's think about this. In times past, one needed to identify themselves with the nation Israel to be in the will of God. One needed to, in Christ's earthly ministry, one needed to identify themselves with the Messiah. They needed to identify themselves with what God was doing there in Jerusalem. They needed to identify themselves through the gospel there that was being preached. They needed to repent and be baptized as John came preaching a baptism of repentance. Okay? Now, also we see scriptures, and Gentile salvation is not the issue when it was being spoken, because a Gentile could always be a proselyte. A Gentile could always come into the will of God. A Gentile, as far back as Genesis 17, when the covenant was given there to Father Abraham, one could come under the covenant that God had given them through circumcision. Okay? And let's look at that real quick. There in Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17,